Are you ready, Alabama? It's time to enter the doghouse.
You need to be more like a dog.
Silence, quiet!
All my boys, stand up!
We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you a dog?
Yes!
I am also a dog.
All right!
Yeah!
We're dogs!
Yeah, we're dogs.
We're dogs that live near each other!
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios, it's time for the highly sought-after, fabulous final hour of the Tom Abraham Show.
Okay, folks, the guy in front of you is Tommy. He'll be taking you through my little spiel here.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog. Here's Tom Abraham.
We strong. We strong. We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
Well, anybody that's listened to this show for more than 15 minutes knows that I live at Tim's Ford Lake, which is just about 45, 50 minutes from downtown Huntsville. And now something they've been working on for 15 years is coming to fruition, and that is Twin Creeks Resort and Marina. This place is just, I've been watching it grow. It's 2 miles from my house, and I've been watching this thing since they started construction on it, and they have got a big, big deal coming up here on May the 6th, all right? You can take advantage of limited boat slip release coming up on May the 6th. Come on out, enjoy the live music, the food. They're giving away a brand new Sea-Doo Spark on Saturday, May 6th. It's just absolutely incredible. If you're looking to enjoy the lake life, think about Tim's Ford Lake and Twin Creeks Resort. It's just absolutely amazing. Now, this is a one-day sale that's coming up on May 6th where you can take advantage of the boat slip release. You can call 256-270-1547. That's 256-270-1547. Or visit TwinCreeksTFL.com. It's TwinCreeksTFL, as in Tim's Ford Lake, .com. Look, I've lived here for 3 years. It's absolutely, 3.5 years. It's absolutely amazing. It's gorgeous. It's a wonderful place to live. This place is right near downtown as well. A beautiful spot on the lake. The marina is fantastic. Cabins there'll be to stay and vacation and so on. Plus you can live there. I mean, you can live at Tim's Ford Lake, as well at Twin Creeks. So you want to take advantage of this deal coming up on Saturday. First come, first sold is on Saturday, May 6th. Come on out and take advantage of all of the good stuff that'll be going on there at Twin Creeks. All right, phone lines are open in the highly sought-after, fabulous final hour of the show here. Give us a call at 866-485-9867. That's 866-485-9867. We'll get you into the show. And, you know, obviously we spent a decent amount of time earlier in the show talking about the retirement announcement that at the end of this season, Dale Earnhardt Jr. will retire. And Charles in Decatur sent the text message, and he said, you know, would it be fair to say that Dale Earnhardt Jr. underperformed? You know, and I'll be honest with you. I think that would be fair to say. I think that would be a fair assessment of his career at the end of the day. That Dale Earnhardt Jr., with 26 wins, which is, you know, really good. I mean, there's only six guys that have more wins than Dale Earnhardt Jr. that are current drivers. But look, Brad Keselowski has been running for how many years in the Cup Series now? Five? Six? Brad Keselowski has 23 wins. And every single guy in front of him, Jimmy Johnson with 82 wins, he's been on the circuit much, you know, shorter time than Dale Earnhardt. Not much, but shorter than Dale Earnhardt Jr. Number of races. Matt Kenseth has 38 wins in 622 races. Earnhardt has 603 races under his belt. Kyle Busch has won 38 times and a championship in only 434 races. Kevin Harvick, about the same career, 582 races, about 20 races less than Earnhardt. Remember, because, you know, Harvick takes over for Dale Sr. when Dale dies in 01. Harvick's got 35 wins and a championship. Kurt Busch, 584 races, 29 wins. Denny Hamlin, 406 races, 200 races less than Dale Earnhardt. 200. They only race 36 times a year. Denny Hamlin has run 200 less races and won 29 times. I know I'm not being ugly here. I'm an Earnhardt fan. But if you were to say, is it a fair assessment to say that he underperformed? I would have to say yes. Brad Keselowski's run 277 races, and he's run three less than Earnhardt. Won three less than Earnhardt. So, you know, I don't think that that's an unfair assessment. But the sport loses, you know. Jeff Gordon, that was kind of shocking at his young age, 44. And then Tony Stewart at 43. And now Earnhardt will retire shortly after his 43rd birthday. Who's next? Harvick's 41 now. Jimmy Johnson's 41. Kenseth's 45. Is there enough left out there for you to be interested? Can there be a renaissance? Garrett is in Huntsville. Garrett, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Tom. How are you?
Fantastic.
So Charles and Decatur brought up that point about Dale, and I just think that he always had the pressure of his daddy lingering over him. I mean, mm-hmm. he wasn't, you know, that great. Obviously, he was loved by fans, but, you know, always trying to live into the, you know, but under the footsteps of your father. You know, we've seen in times in sports, you know, like baseball and whatnot, where you've had players just like their, you know, their sons, you know, play above and beyond, you know, their parents. But I just feel like he always had that lingering over him from above.
And well, there's no question about
really,
it, but that
you know, he's that first round draft pick.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it, but that means he also always had great equipment. I mean, you know, think about it. He was in a DEI car. When he did his most damage, I mean, in 2004, he wins six races and led the points in August, you know, before he got out of the car. I think it was Ed Daigle. Where was it? Was Ed Daigle where he got out of the car and he said the S word on live TV and they fined him 25 points, which was devastating.
Yeah.
Forget the money. It was the points. And he ends up not winning a championship that year. He's not Danica Patrick. He's not just out there riding around, you know, he's not Kyle Petty. You want to talk about a guy? I mean, that's the other guy that followed Daddy. I mean, Richard Petty's boy, Kyle. Kyle Petty ran 829 races. Earnhardt's run 603. Kyle Petty ran 829 races and had eight wins. Earnhardt's got 26 wins in 603 races. It's a respectable number, 26 wins, but with the equipment he's had, I don't know, man. I mean, you know, I think it's fair to say that didn't really reach the peak that everybody thought he would reach, you know, as being the most popular driver in NASCAR, and certainly, you know, not what the other Hendrick drivers have done.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And, you know, with him being the most popular driver, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult for a few years until there's – just, I don't know, that next superstar to come up, even though Dale wasn't exactly a superstar. He was just so well-liked. There was only 40.
No, he was a superstar. I mean, he was a superstar in every aspect of the word for NASCAR. He may not have been the champion, but he was certainly a superstar. Who do you think is the guy that's going to win the next? We haven't had a different most popular driver for 15 years. All right, this will be 15 years. He'll win it this year. This will be 15 straight years. The last guy to win it before him was Bill Elliott. He took it over, and Elliott won 16 straight, or not 16 straight, but 16 with a hiccup in there when Darrell Waltrip won it 1 year. Who do you think will win the next most popular driver award in NASCAR? That's a great question. I like that question.
Honestly, I have no idea. No idea. I mean, I personally, well, my favorite was Tony Stewart growing up. But I like Brad Keselowski right now, but I just don't
know. Another guy's got a championship. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. Thanks for the call, Garrett. That's a good job by you. Who will win the next who not named Dale Earnhardt Jr.? Who will win the 2018 Most Popular Driver Award? No, running two races in the Xfinity Series is not going to get Dale the Most Popular Driver. I mean, Jeff Gordon never won it because his career was covered up by Earnhardt. Gordon, by the way, had 805 races and won 93 of them for Hendrick. 805 races, he won 93 plus four championships. Who will win? I'm gonna say it'll be Chase Elliott. How about that? Plainsman Preston says, is there enough left out there for me to be interested? Well, he hates NASCAR. No, he says. Can we talk about athletes now? A lot of great athletes. Stop calling the text line. If you want to text the text line, text the text line. If you want to call the show, 866-485-9867. That'll get you. Frank Gore is the active rushing leader. Is that true? Double check that. I don't think he's on the roster anymore. Is he on the Colts roster right now?
As far as I know, I don't know. I'll have to double check that. But
you might have double checked that.
As far as I know, he's still on there. I don't know.
The big dog says that Adrian Peterson is the active NFL rushing leader, but I may be wrong because I'm often wrong. Active NFL rushing leader. Googleage says that, you know why it was Frank Gore?
Why is that?
Because Adrian Peterson was not active.
Well, Gore still has more yards than Peterson.
Yeah, but I don't think Gore's on a roster. Hang on. Frank Gore. Let's see if Frank Gore is on anybody's roster. Frank Gore. He might be on the Colts.
I think he's still active on the Colts roster.
He might be.
I know Peterson's the active leader in touchdowns.
Got it off the ESPN crawl that Adrian Peterson and Drew Brees will be the first time that the active leader in rushing and passing would be on the same team since Terry Bradshaw and Franco Harris in 1983. That was what came across the crawl. No, maybe they were wrong.
Did they?
That was my research on
it. Maybe they meant active passing touchdowns and active rushing touchdowns, because I know Drew Brees leads in passing touchdowns.
Oh, maybe.
And Adrian Peterson leads in rushing touchdowns.
Maybe. I thought it said yards. Could have been. It might have been that. Yeah, I'm hung up on this question of who's going to win the next. I don't know who it's going to be.
I'm not sure
who it'll be.
I'm going to have to bow out of that conversation. I have no idea.
It was Garrett who was calling the text window. He says, when you say best equipment in NASCAR, what exactly do you mean? I mean, a lot of NASCAR has to do with your team. He's been in great cars. He's been in equipment that is his stable mate is Jimmy Johnson. The guy that's won more races than anybody that's running out there right now. The guy that's won 7 championships. They come out of the same garage. Earnhardt's 88 car and Jimmy Johnson's 48 car come out of the same garage. The 24 of Chase Elliott, which is a Hendrick car, is in the same garage with the 5 car, the 4th Hendrick car. They're teammates. So he's got good stuff. It's not like he's out there running for, a garbage team. He has run top-notch equipment. He's got better stuff than the Childress car had. The reason he didn't go to Richard Childress, where his dad raced and where Austin Dillon is now running the three car is because Hendrick was winning all the championships. I mean, between Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon, Hendrick's won 11 championships just with those two guys. So that's where he went. He went to the Patriots. He went to the Patriots and won like 8 races since he's been there. That's why a lot of people think that Chase Elliott's going to be very good because he's running for Hendrick. I mean, he's in really, really good stuff. You know, Joe Gibbs Racing. You know, the top teams. But, man, you look at the, you know, if you're asking about underperforming, I could get with that. Speaking of underperforming, an unnamed scout not only threw shade on Notre Dame's Deshaun Kizer, but maybe an entire generation. He said about Deshaun Kizer, he said he's, quote, he's the ultimate millennial. He's caught up in being more of a quarterback image than being a quarterback. If he goes to the right spot with the right coach, he'll ascend. They're going to have to get him to focus on football. I honestly think this guy would do better in a small market. If he goes to a big market, he'll enjoy everything else that comes with the position. The one position in the building that you don't want to worry about whether he's going to be focused on football is quarterback. Wow. This is Deshaun Kizer who said he's got the brain of Tom Brady and the body of Cam Newton. And said he might be the greatest quarterback ever.
And the promoting skills of Don King.
What is the definition of a millennial? When does millennial start? I thought millennial was like somebody born at the turn of the century.
Yeah, me.
You're one. I think you're one. What do you think you are?
I don't think I'm a... Am I a millennial?
I think you're a millennial.
I might be.
How do you spell millennial? Two L's?
M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A-L-S, I believe.
Oh, there it is. Millennials. It's a good thing it came up on the spell check because I had no. Millennials, known as Generation Y, the net generation, or a demographic cohort that directly follows Generation X. All right, but when does it start? Millennials, let's see, Generation Y, demographic cohort, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Millennials are generally the children of baby boomers. Well, I'm a boomer. Older Gen Xers and sometimes referred to as echo boomers due to a major surge in birth rates in the 80s and 90s. The 20th century trend towards smaller families, blah, 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 baby boom echo, millennial characteristics. So millennials fall between Generation X, then it's millennials, and then Generation Z. Date and defining range.
Millennials, Generation Y, Echo Boomers, Millennials, from a website I found, 1977 to 1994, they were born.
So you're one of those.
I would be a millennial, I guess.
You're a millennial.
Z is 95 to 2012, and I move.
Which is weird that
wouldn't Kizer be around? Well, no, he might just fall into a millennial then.
See, I thought a millennial would have been from the millennium. Right, from the turn of the century.
That's
wouldn't
what it
that
sounds like. I never really put too much stock in that stuff, so I don't think about it, but it makes sense. I mean, why call it the millennial if the last millennials were born in 94?
I think this guy just threw shade at the entire generation. He's caught up in being more of a quarterback image than being a quarterback. He needs to focus. Wow. That's a pretty bad thing, I think, to say about a guy. I'm going to go out and say that is a bad thing to say about a guy. All right, let's get a break. Coming up next, the rapid rewind. What did Corey Chavis say I did? Did he say I was like the smartest guy he's had interview him since he started?
Well, here we go again.
He said something like that. Didn't he say something like I was the brains of the operation or that's the best question I've ever been asked? Did it make the rewind? He said something about me. I don't know. We're going to find out next. Stay tuned for the rewind. Corey Chavis said something like it was the greatest question he's ever been asked since ever. I think that's what he said. We'll find out right after this on 730-103-90 AM.
Sports Radio 730 1039. The Ump. It's time for 60 with Cole Kubelik.
Pretty big news for the Minnesota Vikings, adding Adrian Peterson, a perennial 1,000-yard rusher, to their club. They have another 1,000-yard rusher in-house in Mark Ingram, but I think the time may have come for us to get away from the 1,000-yard running back in a season as the benchmark of a good or great back in the NFL. Since the season's gone to 16 games, it's not quite as difficult. 12 running backs rushed for 1,000 yards a season ago. Only two averaged 100 yards per game. Two. Ezekiel Elliott and Le'Veon Bell. Mark Ingram was a 1,000-yard rusher. He averaged 65 yards per game. Bottom line is, with the extended season, rushing for 1,000 yards ain't what it used to be. It's time to up the benchmark a little bit for NFL running backs and what makes them great.
Don't miss the Cube Show with Cole Kubelik and Arky Shea. Weekday morning 6 to 10 a.m. only on The Ump.
One of the things about the humidor is it's probably got the greatest variety of any tobacco shop in Huntsville.
I come down here because the variety of accessibility of the different types of cigars that they have.
Great selection of cigars, and they have the best selection of cigars around at a good price.
Buy it, smoke it here, hang out with the guys.
Great pipe selection, great tobacco selection. They do a great job of taking care of the customer, and that's what counts.
The Humidor Pipe Shop, Memorial Parkway Southwest. Now open Sundays, noon to 6.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors and shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Five times more hires are made through Indeed.com than any other job site, according to independent research. Imagine a lottery that had five times more winners, or a Sunday with five times more touchdowns. When you're hiring, it makes five times more sense to use Indeed. Right now, we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job on the world's number one job site. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable.
it smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
Well, it's
hard.
I think it's quite masculine. My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam for my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
Good times with your family last a lifetime with the help of Madison RV Supercenter. Are you ready to hit the open road in your own RV, fifth wheel, or travel trailer? Or do you need a toy hauler? With hundreds to choose from and a huge variety of brands and price ranges, Madison RV Supercenter has what you need. Madison RV Supercenter has the best, most experienced sales and service team in Alabama and are ready to meet your RV needs better than anyone. Visit us today and experience the difference Madison RV Supercenter can make.
Brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Indeed.com delivers five times more hires than any other job site. You can post a job in minutes and manage your candidates from an easy-to-use dashboard. Post your next job on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
Our sky will stay clear tonight, the overnight low 57. Tomorrow, a warm day with a good supply of sunshine, the high 85. Thursday, strong storms are likely early in the day, becoming partly sunny by afternoon, the high 76. Friday, only isolated afternoon storms, the high 86. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
I feel dirty even talking about this right now, but I'll be honest with you. I've been researching this. And these numbers, Earnhardt's numbers are not Hall of Fame numbers. Earnhardt Jr. Jr.'s numbers are not Hall of Fame numbers. I mean, they'll storm the gate if he's not put in the Hall of Fame like tomorrow or something. They got to put him in a Hall of Fame like tomorrow. But Dale Jr.'s numbers are not Hall of Fame numbers. Popularity, all that stuff is great. Love the kid. Wish him the best. 26 wins in 600 races, not Hall of Fame numbers. I'm sorry. Without a championship? No. All right. by the way, confirmation came from the research department, the ex-research department, that in fact the stat was that the Drew Brees and Adrian Peterson are the active leaders in touchdowns, as Tony Mack said. We got confirmation from the field. Smokey Mike coming in with confirmation on that, that in fact it was touchdowns. So T-Mac, you were right, and it was seconded by your predecessor. Okay, so the both of you are right.
Well, I got a, I threw a third source in there. I tweeted at you, the ESPN stats and info confirmed that as well.
Yeah, well, you got to grasp the concept. The one thing that, that Mike did grasp and you need to grasp is the concept. It's your job to keep me out of trouble and make me sound good. So don't let me be wrong. No, that's okay. I look, one of the mantras of the show has always been, I never, ever let the facts get in the way of a good show.
The way it should be, you know?
All right, now the pressure is on you, too, because I don't know what you put in there for from Corey Chavis, but him saying that I asked him, like, the greatest question he's ever been asked, ever, better be in there. If it's not,
oh my gosh,
you're in trouble, because I don't know what you're doing with this rewind. You just pick whatever, or you pick the good stuff. You're supposed to pick the good stuff. And when Corey Chavis said that I was the smartest host to ever host a sports talk radio show, you know, I didn't know that Adrian Peterson and Drew Brees had touchdowns instead of yards. Let's find out. Corey right. Chavis was in. Kevin Rogers was not in. He'll be in tomorrow. He's, you know, sitting a shiva. But we did have John Forcade, Tim Pacman, Greg Wyshynski, Brent Sobolewski. It's the Rapid Rewind. All right, what do you think about Warren Sapp's comments about Myles Garrett? I mean, you know, the guy looks like a physical freak, and Sapp says he's lazy, just makes splash plays. That kind of came out of left field, too. What were your thoughts hearing that, and what is your evaluation of Myles Garrett?
Well, I don't have many thoughts on – I don't evaluate somebody else's evaluation.
I have the clip,
so
but I don't think I put it in there.
I'm gonna
just send it to you. I'm going to cut it out and send it to you, just so you can play it every day. Every day, you play it before you go to sleep.
I thought he was a player that you could certainly look at games like against Lyle Collins
from LSU
in 2014 and be concerned in terms of the run game.
I want to make it a hotkey. Just
improved markedly, you know, throughout his career. And I thought he played with a little bit better base.
Okay, I will. It'll have to be after the break because I'll have to get it after the rewind's over.
It would be about some slight balance issues, but it clearly a guy that was flexible.
I have it out.
Enough.
It's just it was towards the end, and y'all weren't.
I think he's got
it wasn't as good as that little clip was good, but this was more in depth conversation than what y'all were talking about at the time. So that's why I didn't put it in there. My bad, though. I'll get it for you.
Bowl games, and in those two bowl games, he had four sacks. 25 of his 32 and a half sacks came at home, or 24 something in that range. So. You know, just being a little bit more productive on the road would be something that could be a focus.
Is there any doubt in your mind, though, that he's got to be the first pick? Or is that something where, you know, Cleveland, which is quarterback starved, you know, I don't know that there's a quarterback in his draft that is, you know, worthy of the number one overall pick. But, I mean, has this got to be the pick for the Browns?
Well, I mean, I think he's the best pick. But, I mean, again, you got a lot of different factors working when you've got an owner, you've got a general manager, you've got a pro personnel person, a college director of scouting, you've got a head coach, you've got an offensive coordinator, a quarterback's coach, then you've got a defensive coordinator. So all of those different factors are kind of blending in, and you're trying to kind of figure out, you know, what the pick is going to be, and a lot of different opinions.
Yeah. This seems to be, of course, the Titans will pick fifth, and they're in need of a corner. They're in need of defensive back help. They could use a safety. But this seems to be a ridiculously deep draft when it comes to DBs, a position you know really well, don't you think?
Yeah, it's definitely a deep. In terms of just safeties and slash nickelbacks, we had 25 guys with at least third-round grades or better. And then cornerbacks, it was in the 20 range in terms of third round grades are better. So that's 45 players just at those two positions. So definitely think there's a lot of depth in comparison to other seasons or other years, draft seasons. But if you've got a player that you think is one of the top player in the draft and you've got an opportunity to take them early, I think you go ahead and take that player.
If Darius Geis was on the Saints right now, and they had Darius Geis and Mark Ingram and Adrian Peterson, who would be the best back in 2017?
Well, let me put it this way. It depends on what style of offense you want to use. If it's the offense that the Saints have used in the last 10 years, Geis is the guy to go to. He can catch the ball in the backfield. He can hit the corner quicker than these other two guys. Peterson is an in-between-the-tackle type guy. He's got 10 years under his belt. Mark Ingram, man, he better flip a coin. You don't know what game, what day, what he's going to show up and do for you. I like Geis in the long run. Definitely my type of running back now. When you bring that up, you know, the Saints signed Adrian Peterson for a 2-year deal. And I don't know what's going to happen with this. We're all shaking our heads down here wanting to know. Basically, what you did was you got two Mark Ingrams in the backfield. One's younger and one's older.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand is that there's a lot of things the Saints need, but running back wasn't one of them. Didn't they just do a deal with Ingram? And if you're Ingram, you got to be saying, what the hell's going on here? Because, you know, obviously they're going to use, you know, Adrian Peterson for something, but it seems odd. I mean, look, these guys never, very, very rare do these guys move and do anything, you know, when they, at the end of their career. This is like Emmitt Smith going to the Cardinals or Tony Dorsett going to the Broncos, maybe. But I guess I can't figure out what the move is here, what the play is.
My whole take on this whole deal is just the fact they got Adrian Peterson. They're, you know, big name, celebrity-type running back. He's been around, a very good running back. And I love what some of the people down here are saying, oh, man, he's got so much left in him. I said, wait a minute, so much left in him. How do you know? He came off of a doggone pretty serious knee injury last year, didn't play at all the last 15 games of the season. What do you think he's going to bring to the table? Nothing right now until he comes in here and proves it. But they signed him, and I'm thinking, why did they sign him? Is it because they want to draw more people to the stands? The people, they sell him out every week. They don't care who they bring in. He's at the end of his career. It's sort of like when they signed C.J. Spiller. I said, okay, that's a good signing. They bring him in here. Don't even use him correctly. What are you going to do with Peterson? He can't catch the football.
He's not
known to catch the football. He can't get outside. He's done it at speed. He's inside a tackle runner. Don't you have that with Mark Ingram?
I'm talking to Arkie. Hold on. Can you hear me say anything, Arkie?
If I'm Mark Ingram, I'm saying, hey, guys, what's going on there? You want me to be traded? Let's get the trade going.
Yeah. I mean, since Peterson had the 2,000-yard season, almost 2,100 yards in 2012, his follow-up year to that, he had 1,266 yards in 14 games. Then, of course, he misses the entire season. And then he comes, you know, with the hitting your kid with a switch thing. He came back in 2015 with a 1,485-yard year, 4.5 yards per carry, but got hurt again last year and only played 3 games last year and had 72 yards. So, yeah, I mean, it just seems to be you take a running back that is 30, 31 years old, 32 years old already, and then you put them, you know, 2 injuries later. I just don't see that there's much there. Not that they spent a lot of money on him.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's guaranteed $3.5 million this year. They say it's not a lot. 2-year deal. I mean, I think he's one and done. They'll play him this year. Don't use him, whatever. And say, okay, you know, we don't pick up your option for 2018. But the fact is, Ingram played pretty doggone good the last couple of seasons. Now, with all that being said, Tom, we're not even talking about the offensive line here. This ain't the offensive line of the Dallas Cowboys. This is an average, at best, offensive line. I'd put them in the same line category as Minnesota had last year. They ain't the greatest run-blocking line out there. They got guard trouble and maybe one tackle problem. They're struggling up front, so I don't see them really exploding. They got to change the offense and say, now we want to be a Dallas Cowboy running attack game and let Drew throw 25 times a game. Drew's going to throw his 35 to 40 times a game. Let's put that down in writing.
Yeah, they thought it was Earnhardt Jr., but no, it's not. We actually opened the show with him because he was on doing his press conference right when we started, and I went ahead and potted it up, and we listened to it for a little bit. He was pretty good, and it sounded like he was like, you know what? It sounds like he didn't even give a crap about racing anymore. He just wanted to go out on his own terms, and he was going to call the shot. He didn't want to go out injured. Do you get the sense that that's the deal?
That's exactly what he wanted to do. After what he went through last year, and he had a couple other, you know, hit his noggin a couple other times. I told you earlier. I said I could tell. I knew something was up because he has been more involved with social media. He's been more involved with fan interaction appearances, things that he didn't do years ago, like the last year or so. he's ramped it up and like he's become more involved. And part of that, I think, is because the more involved, the more you're out there, the less people want to get in touch with you. But the more reclusive you are, the more people want to bring you out of it. But he has, like I said, he has nothing to prove. He's won his races. He's won his Xfinity championships. He's won his Daytona 500s. He's a successful business owner. He's a successful car owner. He's the face of many products and everything. And he has nothing to prove to anybody. He's married now. He's 41. He's 42. He's going to do all, on his own time and his own way.
Yeah, 43. We'll talk about what that means to NASCAR in general. But here was my first reaction. I like it was not surprised because we called this. I mean, before the season, I said he's going to decide. He's going to have to make a decision and let them know because he's, you know, not under contract for next year, and so that they can start making the plan. And we'll talk about the plan too in a minute. But my first reaction, this is weird. My first reaction was that damn Teresa Earnhardt screwed up DEI, and I'm pissed off that Dale, Kelly, and Kerry aren't running DEI because he would be a great owner for the rest of his life, and there's no DEI. Now, 5 years from now, is he a broadcaster? Is Junior Motorsports have cars running in the Cup Series? What is Dale Earnhardt Jr. doing 5 years from now?
I think in 5 years, there'll be Dale Jr. running around somewhere. I think he'll still own the teams. I don't see him going away from that. That's been very successful. And I think you might see him doing a little bit of media stuff here and there. But he might just kind of just kick back and not be so busy and obligated to everything. He's like, here you go. And I give him credit because he's doing it now. So that, back to that question, you're signing your contract, you're signing your contract, that's out of the bag. That's over with. Now he can just go relax, run his last year and say, well, here we go, kids, and this is it. And I actually was relieved when I first heard it. I go, oh, good for him. That was the first thing I thought. So, and now who replaces him? I don't know if they announced that yet. But
no.
If you look at the standings lately, the finishes of races, here's the names that are running the top 10. Eric Jones, Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney, just to name a few guys. The quote-unquote replacements or the next superstars, they've been chomping at the bit to make their name known in the sport.
Well, I would say the first phone call goes to Carl Edwards, and you just say, are you sure?
No.
I think you have to make the phone call.
No.
You got to say, are you sure? You don't think so?
No, because you build a brand, you get a sponsor, you build a brand, and 2 years, you go, I'm going to go back to being retired. You get some hungry young kid, and you build your program around him.
Then that's going to be Alex Bowman, I think. I think they really liked what Alex Bowman did in that car last year, and I think Alex Bowman will get that shot, I think. What do you think?
We will find out, but whoever it is, he's not filling big shoes. He's just taking over a ride. That's how I look at it.
Outside of the hockey world, we don't talk that much about historical type things. But am I lying if I say that the Preds sweeping the Chicago Blackhawks, isn't that the first time an eight swept a one since there were eights and ones?
It might be. I mean, like you said, it's a little bit tough to really quantify that because they've changed the playoff format so many times. If you want to consider the Predators an eighth seed, I guess you could do that. But, I mean, it's also a situation I think they ended up with more points than some teams in the Pacific, so it wasn't really a true eighth seed necessarily. But it's the first time I think the Blackhawks were swept in a series since, like, their early 90s. So, I mean, like, it's historic from that perspective and shocking for a lot of people. And the thing about it, too, is that what's been really fascinating about the aftermath of this thing is the fact that since all of Chicago's great players that are all making tons of money all have no movement clauses, their GM, Stan Bowman's been left trying to make changes any way he can. So he fired Joel Quenneville's assistant coach, Mike Kitchen, who's been with Quenneville for a long time, and then today fired their minor league coach for various and sundry reasons. So the Blackhawks are scrambling now trying to change things around, but being really handcuffed by their own contracts to be able to do it.
Yeah, but if you're a Blackhawk fan, I mean, step off the ledge, right? I mean, step back from the ledge anyway. It's not they had a bad couple of weeks, really. They had a bad week, right? I mean, do they have terminal problems if you've got Taves and Kane and I'd like to see them improve their goalie situation, but do they have terminal issues there or is it just, damn, that just happened, you know, and you just reload and they could be back next year in a cup?
Well, you got to remember that when they won their first cup, the next two seasons they lost in the first round, and that was because they had to jettison all those guys that helped them win the first cup, Bufflin and Ladd and all those players, Campbell and all those players, because of the salary cap considerations. But then when they came back and they found the right supporting cast, they won twice. But the thing is this time with the back-to-back first-round losses, you're talking about a collection of guys that are really accomplished and amazing players, but are all sort of pushing 30 or over the age of 30 now. And so you got to start making changes. You got to start doing what Detroit used to do, which is sort of, you know, reload on the fly. And they can't because they've got all these big names. And anybody making more than like $1 million in that team is locked into a no-move deal, which is just crazy. So it's and on top of that, you have Evan Kane making, you know, $20 million between them. So it's not as if they should panic. I think the window of opportunity is still there. You can kind of peel back the layers and see why this team lost. But to think about the next 5 years, you'd like to see them shake up the mix a little bit, especially on defense, and they really can't.
How much of an impact does the situation with the diluted test impact Reuben Foster, who a lot of people think that he won't get past the Bengals? Some people got the Saints taking him at 11. Some people have the Titans taking him at 12. How much does that hitting machine fall in this draft because of a diluted test? Not a positive. It's given the impression of a positive, but it's a diluted test, which could mean a lot of things.
Well, it just adds to a litany of concerns with Reuben Foster. Now, let's preface this by stating, if you just look purely at his performance this past season, Foster is easily a top five talent in this year's class, if not slightly higher. He's a legitimate elite linebacker prospect and plays at an extremely high level and brings a level of physicality that most teams don't have from their linebackers anymore. With that said, when you start factoring his injury history, two reported concussions, stingers in his shoulders, now he's also coming off the rotator cuff surgery, factor in that there is a potential history with failed tests at Alabama, as reported by Albert Breer. You know, now you bring this into the equation. It's just adding up overall to questionable off-field concerns and how long he's going to be on the field for you, because as we know, the greatest trait in football is availability. So if you're injured or you have concerns about being suspended, this will have a drastic impact on your standing. Maybe he's not top 10, top 15 anymore. Maybe he's back into the first round or early second round. That's all in play, considering how teams view him with all these concern areas.
I don't think they're going to view him like, I mean, it's an NFL linebacker, for God's sakes. I mean, I don't think they're going to view it. I just don't see him slipping past, you know, 12, 13 at the worst. Now, the flip side is Gerrion Conley, the defensive back, the corner from Ohio State, now that this just getting, you know, coming out that, that he has been, accused apparently of a rape in Cleveland. I don't know how quickly they can get this thing cleared up. His lawyer is saying that it's ludicrous and ridiculous. I don't know if you got Jackie Childs as his attorney, but it's ludicrous and ridiculous. But we all remember what happened to Lyle Collins. Could this happen to Conley? I mean, could this guy's a first round corner? Could he fall right out of the draft?
There's two really unfortunate situations right now, not only with Conley, but we had Caleb Brantley as well with accusations of domestic violence within the past week. And the timing can't be worse for them. And I'm not trying to downplay what is happening and what they're accused of, but simply from an NFL draft perspective, when it comes to teams and they're uncertain about these situations, Collins is a great example that you can absolutely plummet during the draft because you don't know where the player stands. You don't want to have, and you made fun of the Browns earlier, you know, one of the examples, Jeremiah Farms in 2000, 2001, was eventually arrested and never played in the league after being drafted by Cleveland. That's the concern teams have, you know. Collins would end up for the best, at least for him. You can't necessarily say that about either Brantley or Conley because we don't have enough information. And the teams aren't going to have enough information because it's not, these situations most likely are not going to be solved within 2 days. It's highly, highly unlikely. So now you have to weigh the risk with the reward. And I always say that in the NFL draft, talent trumps trepidation. But in this situation, you may be placed in a position where you make a selection and something very unfortunate happens with these young men and how they're viewed moving forward. Now, when you compare that to, say, Joe Mixon or even a Dalvin Cook or others who have histories of domestic or sexual violence, then you had time to prepare yourself for that. You had time to investigate, to scout, to understand these young men and see if they're changed. And then there's some teams who will automatically strike these guys off the board entirely. There's a no-tolerance approach. The one example, obviously, being the New England Patriots and how they go about their business. So, to me, it's a cascade of problems where teams are just going to avoid the situation, especially without all the information available to them. And both those players, who could have been first or second-round picks, should expect monster draft day slides.
So there you have it. That is your rapid rewind, and I did not hear Corey Chavis talking about the fantastic question that I asked him. All right, so we're going to have to check the lost tapes for that, I think. Anyway, that's your rapid rewind for this, the 25th of April, 2017. We'll come back, tell you what to watch on TV tonight. We know what you're not watching on TV tonight. I'll explain when we return, and we'll see if we can dig up the lost tape of the great question that I asked Corey Chavis. We'll be back with that right after this. 730, 1039, yeah.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039, The Ump.
Coveted.
This is Tiki Barber with a CBS Sports Minute. The NFL draft is 2 days away, and among the top storylines over the next few days will be how much Alabama's Reuben Foster and Michigan's Jabril Peppers hurt their draft stock by failing their combine drug test with diluted samples. Now, both guys have similar stories, that they were under the weather and needed to rehydrate in order to perform at their best. Sounds plausible enough. The NFL predictably doesn't care, and both players will be in stage one of the league's substance abuse program before they even know for whom they're going to play. Who knows at this point if either player actually had a failed non-diluted test, but Cleveland Browns offensive lineman Joe Thomas has a rather simple solution. Let them wait around and have them do it again and get a non-diluted sample. Instead of putting these kids behind the eight ball before they get started, make them comply with the test and know for sure. Easy enough, if you ask me. I'm Tiki Barber.
Attention Yards of America, now you have a holiday too. Toro Days at the Home Depot, with the lowest prices of the season on their latest zero-turn and self-propelled mowers, like a 22-inch variable-speed gas mower for just $274. You save $45. It's the next generation of outdoor power from Toro, and it's one happy holiday for your yard. Get a fresh take on spring and the lowest prices of the season during Toro Days at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Offers valid April 20th through May 3rd.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable. it smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
Well, it's hard.
I think it's quite masculine. My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam from my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
15 years in the making, Middle Tennessee's highly anticipated Lakefront Marina Resort community has arrived. Final release to the public. One day only, Saturday, May 6th. Call 256-270-1541 or visit TwinCreeksTFL.com now.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable. it smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
Well, it's hard.
I think it's quite masculine. My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam from my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
All right, Tide fans, listen up, because your next chance to hear Alabama baseball will be Thursday as the Tide come back home to Sewell Thomas Stadium to take on the LSU Tigers. Coverage starts at 6:25 p.m. all right here on the Up. Roll Tide. Napa
Know-How. Tooling around the yard on a riding mower isn't just yard time. That's listen to the game time, enjoy the great outdoors time, or maybe just think about absolutely nothing time. Unless you've got a dead battery, that's no fun time. So head to Napa, where lawn and garden batteries are as low as $21.99 with exchange. That's $21.99, just in time for mowing time. That's Napa Know-How. Napa Know-How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 4/30/17.
Well, it was bound to happen. Football season will come to an end, but what that means is spring football is right around the corner, and so is the spring season. Now is the time to treat your vehicle to the ultimate in-service care at Woody Anderson Ford. You'll be stunned at the beautiful new service lanes, and you're going to want to leave yourself some extra time to have breakfast or lunch at Henry's Mustang Cafe. In fact, head to the Mustang Cafe any day, and while you're there, check out the new 2017 Fords. Woody Anderson Ford at Sparkman and Jordan Lane.
Be the first to own La La Land.
It's new every time.
The winner of 6 Academy Awards.
Really?
Yes.
Including Best Director, Best Actress, and Best Original Song.
City of stars, are you shining just for me?
La La Land, rated PG-13.
It's very, very exciting.
Now available on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital HD.
Times with your family last a lifetime with the help of Madison RV Supercenter. Are you ready to hit the open road in your own RV, fifth wheel, or travel trailer? Or do you need a toy hauler? With hundreds to choose from and a huge variety of brands and price ranges, Madison RV Supercenter has what you need. Madison RV Supercenter has the best, most experienced sales and service team in Alabama and are ready to meet your RV needs better than anyone. Visit us today and experience the difference Madison RV Supercenter can make.
Are you ready, Alabama? It's time to enter the doghouse.
Well, you know what it's time for now? Time for me to tell you what to watch on TV.
Just sit right back on the wheel.
Tonight is a good night to watch some baseball. We'll be watching the Yankees and the Red Sox. Man, that sucker's been rained out. That's okay. Good night to catch the Braves and the Mets tonight. Oh, man, that sucker's been rained out too. Well, what are we going to have on a radio tonight? Are we going to have like a rerun of the Andy Griffith Show? We'll probably have CBS Sports Radio, I guess. Alright, so having said all of that, then there's no pucks yet. Grizzlies and Spurs, that one is coming up game 5 at the Spurs. That's knotted at 2 apiece. Spurs 1-2 in San Antonio. The Grizz 1-2 in Memphis. That might be something that you want to catch. There might be some interest in that. No. I think there could be some interest in that game. You never know. Got some college baseball on tap tonight. LSU is at Tulane and Mississippi State at Ole Miss. That one's on the SEC network. CBS Sports Network has the LSU at Tulane game. If you're really hardcore baseball fan, you might want to check that deal out. Also in the NBA tonight on TNT, Thunder at the Rockets. That'll always be fun. That's followed up by the Jazz and the Clippers in L.A. Prison Break is new tonight. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is... Oh, Chicago Fire's new tonight. That's about time. I'll watch it a month from now. I got so much stuff backed up on the TV. Happy birthday to McKringleberry, 81 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, good job by you, McKringleberry, 81. All right, we'll talk to you on hump day. For Tony Mack, I'm Tom Abraham, and this is 730-1039 AM.
730 and 1039. The Ump. More sports.
Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts during Clean Car Month for everything you need to keep your car looking new. Like O'Reilly Car Wash, now $3.99 a gallon. Clean, shine, and protect your vehicle with O'Reilly Car Wash on sale for $3.99 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hiring is the most challenging part of my job. It's really hard. The searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100+ job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them. Thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100+ job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/talent. That's ZipRecruiter.com/talent. ZipRecruiter.com/talent.
The only way to go is in a Bankston motorhome.
Summer is coming, and Bankston Motorhomes has the largest selection of family-sized RVs in the Tennessee Valley.
The only way to go.
Make this a summer to remember with a new travel trailer like the Aspen Trail 2810 BHS for only $179 per month with 10% down. This dual-entry trailer sleeps 10 with corner double bunks and a front queen bedroom. There's plenty of space with a slide-out dinette and sofa area, full kitchen, plus entertainment center. In addition, this model has a full bath with an outside entrance for extra convenience.
The only way to go.
Bankston has the largest selection in the Southeast. Learn more about the Aspen Trail 2810 BHS for only $179 per month and low 6.5% APR with approved credit online.
The only way to go is in a Bankston motorhome.
Five locations are at BankstonMotorhomes.com.
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable. It smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
Well, it's hard.
I think it's quite masculine.
My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam from my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors and shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Do shine. Do love. This Mother's Day, the gift of Pandora from Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, lets you do it all for mom. Stop in between April 27th and April 30th, and you'll receive a free Pandora jewelry box with your Pandora purchase of $125 or more. Inscribed, always my mother, forever my friend. This jewelry box is the gift mom will treasure forever. Do love this Mother's Day. That's why he went to Jared. While supplies last.
Hey, America. We need to have a little talk. We've got more food in our country than we know what to do with. Food at the grocery store and food in the vending machines, fast food, health food, and seafood. We've got so much food that anything people don't buy, we just throw out. Yet 17 million kids in America struggle with hunger. That ain't right. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Yeah, I made that up. It's kind of catchy. Hello, people. This isn't rocket science. We could solve hunger today. To start, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. That's a website. Duh. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
WUMP Madison, W28 OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The Ump.